And I thank the Lord for that. One of these days, when we're in heaven, someone may come up to us and say, you know, I was watching your church service online, and a lady got up and signed, and I'm here because of that. Amen. You never know. And so thank the Lord for this, and thank the Lord for our mothers. And we do have a little something for you, moms, here in just a little while. We'll give to you. But we're continuing the study through the book of John. So turn with me to John chapter number 3 this morning. I like when I am nervous about preaching. And I've been doing this for more than 25 years here at this church for over 7 years. But I still get, I don't know what other way to say it, nervous when it comes time to preach. And so I'm thankful to be able to look out across the crowd and see some sweet smiling faces. But sometimes while I'm preaching, not everybody's sweet and smiling. I look out also over this crowd, and I'm reminded of how that we have prayed. You think you're here because of chance, but I know you're here because somebody prayed you in here. And so I am humbled by that. I think about Preacher Camp all those years ago, started Gateway Baptist Church, wanted the community to have a gateway to heaven. And then Brother Larry Argo came, his wife, Miss Etta, sitting right here. What a humbling thing, Miss Etta, to get to be your pastor. Her husband led the church for several years, and then Pastor Jeff Byrd for 19 years. Now y'all stuck with me for the last 7. But I look around and I see how God is blessing, and I can't explain it. I just know that that I'm thankful for it, and I hope you are too, church. All right, John chapter number 3, very familiar passage of Scripture that I want to read to you here. And if you've never heard this, then I absolutely want you to hear this. The Bible says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Heavenly Father, I need you, Lord. Our church needs you. There are people in our church right now, Lord, that need you. They've come to the end of their rope. Lord, I look out over this crowd, and I know that there are people that are facing different needs. They're going through different places in their life. And I know, Lord, that you have the power and the ability to heal and to help and to save. And I pray, Lord, that you would work mightily in this service this morning. Not because I have done anything right or will do anything right, Lord. Not because the music was good. Not because the Sunday school lesson was great, Lord, but because You get the glory. Father, magnify yourself, glorify yourself, work mightily in this church service. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't typically title these because I've been just preaching through the book of John. Of course, we're beginning John chapter number 3. And if I could title this, or if I had a title for this, it would be A Midnight Meeting with the Master. Now, Nicodemus, of course, is the man. And we'll begin looking right here in verse number 1. We'll jump right in. The Bible says there was a man of the Pharisees. So the first thing that we're going to look at is this man who is at the meeting. And of course, we know that this is a one-on-one meeting with Jesus. And I have often said that I would like to have a one-on-one meeting with Jesus. But the fact of the matter is that He is available at any time through prayer. And should I want a one-on-one meeting with Him, it's not that difficult to achieve. Amen. I have the privilege, and not just me, but you do too. Thank God for this wonderful privilege of prayer, amen, and how little we exercise this. But in those days, it might not have been as easily obtained a meeting with this new teacher, this young preacher who had just stepped on the scene, or at least that's how Nicodemus would have viewed him anyway. But this man at the meeting, Nicodemus, in verse number 1, the Bible says that he was a Pharisee. Well, what does that mean? That means that he was a religious elite. That means this guy knew the Bible. This guy understood everything there was to know about the Jewish religion at that time. He was a Pharisee. He was so involved in what he knew that he taught other people how to live and what to live and what to say and what to do and what actions to take. This is the kind of guy that Nicodemus was. He was a Pharisee. The Bible also says that he was a ruler of the Jews. Now, the Jews had a court that was known as the court of the Sanhedrin, the Sanhedrin courts, and they had each one of those, there was about 70 men, and each one of those would have been somewhat like senators to us. They represented different areas of Israel, and they would go and they would meet together, and they would make they would legislate laws and rules, and they would add things to the Word of God. And of course, we know what the Bible says about those who add to or take away from the Word of God. But that's the kind of guy that he was. He was someone who knew the rules, and he not only knew the rules, he created the rules. And so this guy could, if he wanted to, could bend the rules to accommodate something going on in his life. He could move or adjust things the way that he needed to, but when he met Jesus, something began to change. So the Bible introduces us to him in verse number 1 that he is a Pharisee, he is a ruler of the Jews, but it also further introduces us to him in verse number 10, where it says he is a master of Israel. His character was excellent. So just because he's a Pharisee, just because he's a ruler, just because he's a man of wealth and position and could bend the rules, he was also a man of integrity. He didn't allow the power that he had or the ability that he had to detract from his character. He was an incredibly well-known and well-loved man. And Nicodemus was the absolute best example of what religious training could bring forth in an individual. So you take a fine person and you put them maybe on a pedestal in your mind and you say, man, that guy never does anything wrong. Or that lady, they never do anything wrong. Well, first off, you're wrong about that. This guy was absolutely a wonderful example of what being religiously trained could do and could produce. Yet, as we read just a few moments ago, and we'll read it a little bit more, he was completely void of spiritual understanding. This guy knew the rules. This guy knew what to do. This guy knew what to say. Let me get a little bit closer to the Baptist church. This guy knew what hymns to sing. This guy knew what verses to quote. This guy knew when to insert amen into the middle of the message while the preacher was preaching. This guy understood what it meant to be religious and to be involved in the religious society. That's what kind of guy Nicodemus was. And an interesting thing about him is that the Bible records he came to Jesus by night. Now, why do you think he wanted to come to Jesus by night? I would say it was probably not because he was proud. Jesus was preaching that he was the end of the law. This guy is preaching that he is the law. And so now you have the end of the law and the law meeting together, representatives of the two. And as the law met with grace and truth, which came by Jesus Christ, according to John chapter number 1, when those two met, the law begins to ask some questions. Things aren't matching up anymore. Things aren't looking good. And so he comes to Jesus by night, and whether it was to hide or not, I'm unsure. Quite frankly, he was as I've said, he was a Pharisee. He was a religious man. I have typically believed and been taught that it was because he was ashamed or didn't want someone to see him. I am unsure, and the Bible is unclear about that, other than the fact that we know that Nicodemus does not proclaim Jesus anywhere else in the Word of God except until after Jesus has died. Then he goes and he spends a lot of money and he helps. And he is definitely compassionate toward them. Now, whether or not he was born again here in this experience, I don't know. The Bible is unclear. I would like to believe that he is, but I quite frankly, I just don't know. So where the Bible is silent, I'm going to have to be silent. Somebody say amen right there. But perhaps it was for a convenience time. I mean, after all, during the day, Jesus was very busy. He was going about healing the sick and giving the blind sight and causing the deaf to hear. I mean, the Bible records in multiple locations that he was thronged about with a bunch of people around him. So probably one of the only quiet times that Jesus could have actually had a one-on-one private interaction would have been in the night. Because it doesn't say that it was in the evening and it wasn't in the morning. It was in the night. It was in the middle of the night that Nicodemus came to him. Whether he did it to hide or whether he did it for convenience, I don't know, but I can tell you this, that both of those men would have been busy men during the day. What I'm trying to get you to understand is that this guy, Nicodemus, is just like many of us. And yet he has a meeting with the master. Now think about this. This man has been taught something all of his life. He's been given the key to everything religious that you could possibly think of. And yet he has no spiritual understanding. There is a vast difference, my friends, between being religious and being spiritual. There is a great difference and a great gulf between the two. And we have many people who are steeped in religion, and they are steeped in tradition, and they have no spiritual understanding in their life. We see a picture of ourselves and many in churches today in Nicodemus. And so Nicodemus goes to Jesus in verse number 2, says he came to him by night, and he begins to speak to him. Now, in most of the interactions with the other Pharisees, they were not pleasant interactions with Jesus. Most of the time they tried to call him out or they tried to trick him into believing something. You ever been around somebody that was religious and so they thought that by asking you a question that maybe they knew you didn't know the answer to, they could trick you into saying the wrong thing just to make you look like a fool? I sure hope you hadn't been that person.
And so here is other reactions with the Lord and the Pharisees, and they've been in places to catch him and saying the wrong thing. But Nicodemus is not like that. Nicodemus is different. Do you know why? Nicodemus has an earnest desire to know what's really going on with Jesus. Nicodemus has a desire to see and to understand. He has a desire to get whatever it is. It is very, very possible that Nicodemus saw Mary Magdalene have the seven devils cast out of her. Very possible. It is very possible that Nicodemus was there when they tore the roof open and the folks lowered the one that was lame from birth down in front of Jesus as he sat in the house teaching. It is completely, completely possible that Nicodemus saw those things before these. It is entirely possible that Nicodemus saw the blind being given their sight by this man named Jesus. I believe that his religion was dying and his spiritual life was beginning to be aroused, and he was starting to see some things that he had never seen before. And he was seeing a man doing these things that he had never done before, so much so that the people said, "We've never seen it on this fashion before," in one place in Scripture. But he comes to him and he says in verse number 2, "Rabbi." So you have Nicodemus, who is a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews, and a master of Israel. And he says to a man, "Rabbi." He immediately ascribes authority to Jesus. He did not have to do that. He didn't have to give to Jesus any authority. He didn't have to give to Jesus any credibility. He didn't have to ascribe to him that he was a rabbi. See, the word rabbi in those days meant a respectful term for someone that was considered a teacher. So immediately Nicodemus, who's this ruler and knows all the religious things, immediately says to him, "Hey, I realize that you're equal. And possibly even above me. You're a teacher." Watch what he says to him here. He is polite in the way that he's meeting with him. And I believe that he was persuaded of who he was. Because watch what Nicodemus says here in verse number 2. "We know that thou art a teacher come from God." Nicodemus is realizing who this man is. He says, "For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him." Nicodemus had already seen Jesus perform miracles. He had already heard of the water being turned into wine. He had already seen the work that Jesus was doing while he was here on earth. And he is persuaded because he comes to him and he says, "You came from God and God is with you." These things that he was doing were incredible. Put yourself in Nicodemus' shoes and imagine that you've just heard about a man who is casting out demons. Would sincere belief rise up, or would you be honest and say that skepticism would follow? "Oh, I don't know about all that. Am I telling you to chase off everybody that gets up and says, or chase around everybody that gets up and says, 'I can do this?'" No, that's not what I'm telling you. I'm trying to get you to put yourself in a place where Nicodemus was at. Everything he had been taught was likely coming to an end at this meeting with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he tells him, he's telling him that he's persuaded that God is with him. And I enjoy so much how that Jesus answers him, because Jesus does not confirm or deny either of the things that he said about him. "You're a teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles except God be with him." He doesn't confirm that. Jesus doesn't start rubbing his hands and saying, "Yeah, I am pretty good. I mean, that's my tendency. I appreciate your compliments when you compliment my preaching or my singing or something like that. But sometimes that causes some head swell, and Miss Tara has to take her pen and pop it on the way home. Sure was a pretty song you was singing this morning. Thank you." It'd be nice if we didn't do that, but we do. Jesus was not like us. Jesus is not one of us. Jesus does not do the things that we do. Jesus doesn't act the way that we act. And so He doesn't begin to swell up with pride or sin because Jesus is sinless. But He does say to him, verily, verily, or truthfully, truthfully. He put two verilies there or two truthfullies. Jesus is saying, what I'm telling you is double important. And here's what He says to him. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus describes salvation. Being saved, going to heaven, eternity with Christ, as being born again. You are not born again because you are a good person. You are not born again because you have the religious training in your life. You are not born again because you are a master at whatever you believe. You are born again through Jesus, by Jesus. And we're going to look at that. It'd be fine with me if we saw a great revival sweep through here this morning. And you quit putting your faith and your trust in your ability and in yourself and in your good works. And you said, you know what? In my hand no price I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. I've got nothing to bring to you. This mess that tells you you got to bring something to Jesus to get something out of Jesus, it's hogwash and it's a lie of the devil. You come to Him broken and empty and He will mend you and fill you full. That's what's going on here with Nicodemus. He is, the law has left him broken. The law has left him empty. The law and the religious experience has left him disappointed with everything in his life. But for once, he's meeting with a man that's telling him what he needs to hear. And that statement is, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't go to heaven without being born into the family of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must be born again. Preacher, what does that mean? Our first birth is in sin. In Psalm 51 and verse number 5, all the way back in the Old Testament of the Word of God, the great King David recognized that. And by the way, King David had sinned. And in Psalm 51, King David is breaking it down and saying, you know what? I'm not worthy. He's repenting of his sin. And in verse number 5, he says, in iniquity and sin did my mother conceive me, and in iniquity was I brought forth. From the very beginning of a man, from the very beginning of a man, you have sin. From the very start of your life, you are a sinner in need of a Savior. From the very beginning of your life, you're dying and on your way to hell. But for whatever reason, you believe you're able to save yourself. And you think that you have power. And unfortunately, if you do not submit to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will die and spend eternity in hell. Oh, how sad to face the judgment, unprepared to meet thy God. You've tried religion. You've tried everything that you can think of, and yet you find yourself unable to be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Your first birth is in sin, and they knew it in the Old Testament. And it is true in the New Testament. In Philippians chapter number 3, I want to read to you someone who had a childhood much like Nicodemus did. His name was the Apostle Paul. And in Philippians chapter number 3, he wrote these words. In verse number 4, he says, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the 8th day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But those that are what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." If you're trusting anything other than Christ, you're trusting the wrong thing. Nicodemus saith unto him, I like this, he didn't say why. Nicodemus saith unto him, how? That's a perfectly okay question. Preacher, I don't understand this. How? Why would Jesus love me? Why would Jesus save me? How does this work? How can I have this salvation? How can a man be born when he is old? That's absolutely a wonderful question. I mean, he's hearing for the first time, you've got to be born again. If I was Nicodemus, I would say, I am 43 years old. How can I start over again? How can this happen? How could this possibly be that I could be part of the kingdom of God by being born again? I mean, absolutely, his mind is boggled by what he's hearing here. He said, can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Nicodemus is thinking of the natural birth and only of the natural birth. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, again, there it is, double importance here. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Many have taken this verse and they have used it to push something and add things to the law. Water birth is natural birth. It is sad that Jesus is not writing a code here that you got to sit down with your little Ovaltine thing like in the movie and little Orphan Annie's going to give you a code. Jesus is not a mystic here who's going to have you look in a crystal ball. He's not going to have you call a number late at night and pay $3.95 a minute for somebody to lie to you. Amen, Brother Josh. He's not going to bring about any demonic spirits and ask them what their opinion is. Matter of fact, every time that they get around him in the Scripture, they humble themselves and get away from him. Jesus is not writing some crazy code. He says you got to be physically born and you got to be spiritually born. So if you are alive, if your lungs are taking in air and breathing them out, your heart is beating in your chest, you are conscious. You are eligible for salvation. No red tape. Just a simple heart inquiring to God. This water birth is a natural birth. This spirit birth is spiritual birth. And that is how you enter into the kingdom of God. Then watch this. Jesus goes ahead and notes the difference. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. You produce what you are. My wife and I, we have three children. They look like us because they are of us. They are part of us. And so they favor us. And we produce what we are. Jesus makes that known here. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Why wonder? Why wonder? Watch this. Jesus went on to say in verse number 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but can't tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You do not see the wind, you see the effects of the wind. This is elementary, what I'm telling you here. You don't know, preacher, the wind is coming out of the west. Well, sometimes it shifts on you and comes out of the north. Sometimes it's warm and it's coming up out of the south. Sometimes it comes from the east and we're all kinds of bewildered around here. I remember being told when I was growing up, the rain always comes out of the west, not in a hurricane. That comes from the east. Unless it comes up through the Gulf. But then it came from the east and went up around the Gulf. And y'all know y'all going to be watching the Weather Channel. Some of y'all already worried about what they're going to name the first one coming off of the coast of Africa. You don't have any control over that. You don't get to decide. You don't get to decide where the wind blows. You don't get to determine what the Spirit of God does. Going back to verse number 7, after you've read this, he says, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Ye, he's speaking personally. You, not somebody can be born again for me, and I can go to heaven through them. No, not I can go and confess my sins to a priest somewhere. Or no, I can go have a conversation with the preacher on a Sunday afternoon. No, that won't get you into heaven. That won't help you. Well, my grandma, she was a fine Christian woman. That doesn't matter. Thank God for your fine Christian heritage. But until you get born again, you'll not see the kingdom of God. Amen. All these other things. My daddy's a preacher. Doesn't matter. I'm glad your daddy's a preacher. I hope he's a good preacher. Amen. I hope he's a righteous one. But that doesn't mean that you're going to heaven. You must be born again. That word again, it has three meanings that go along with it. It means from the beginning, or it also means a second time, and then it means from above. You know, the wonderful thing about Christ is that He gives those of us, Christians, another opportunity. Man, you say, preacher, I have royally messed my life up. I mean, you just don't even know how good God can be. Preacher, you don't know what I've done in my life. You don't know what I've said. You don't know where I was last night. No, you're right, I don't. But I know a loving Savior who loves you and cared for you and died for you. And you can be born again. You can have a second time around. You can have a repeat. There will be things that you'll have to go and talk with people and eventually get right. And you will grow spiritually, praise God, after you're born again. But friend of mine, God's grace is sufficient for your every need. So how do I do this, preacher? How do I be born again? We'll be preaching it in the coming weeks, but in verse number 16 of this wonderful chapter of the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Watch this, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world,
but that the world through him might be saved.
He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil.
Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9 goes on to further say that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. To be born again is to be completely saved. If you will put your faith and trust in Christ and Christ alone, he will save you today. Mama, what a wonderful gift to give you children. Come that saved, Mama. Daddies, what a wonderful gift to give Mama. Your life gets changed in one church service. What a wonderful gift to give to your children. Now a Christian heritage, a godly heritage, a goodly home. Jesus loves you, and he wants to save you today. Father, in Jesus' holy name, Lord, there are those that have heard the gospel message this morning in here. Perhaps it's their first time hearing it. I pray, Lord, that you would settle it in their hearts. God, you would save someone today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for allowing me to be just a voice that gets to proclaim your word. Thank you for these sweet mothers. I pray, God, that you'll continue to bless them. God, help us today. Send revival. Send salvation. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with us this morning while we sing?